Welcome back to the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara County. Hour two. Time does fly, but the great thing is that you're flying with us, and you can be anywhere in the world listening to us via the internet. If you're in your car, if you're at work, it's really good you're tuned to KPFK right now, because you heard our first hour with Dr. Dean. Hello. That is sounding the foundation for action. But the action that you're going to be working with isn't just going to be that physical body of yours that you're saying, man, I'm fatigued, I'm tired, oh, I got to take it to the gym. No, there's some other elements, attachments, extensions that, of course, need its nurturing. And you probably feel that sometimes when you feel you have to, you know, run off and go to the gym, but instead you really want to sit there and hang out and play more gaming on the internet, you know? So what's the conflict there? That's the wrestling of your bodies. And the man who has brought this knowledge into our thicket is Bob Dobbs, not JR. No, the Bob Dobbs. There is no argument anymore, because the mark has been made, and we know where we are because he has been knocking at the door saying hello for so many years now to get us to wake up to the reality that is so complex and just otherworldly. Bob, there is no better place to start 2008 than with you and trying to get a sense as to where we are at. But there is one thing before we get into the four, five, who knows how many bodies you have discovered at this point. We have, there is something that I saw on the internet that has to do with the fictional moneyscape, the virtual economy. And a lot of people have been, you know, this is the great thing about Bob, because I can say, Bob, we're going to talk about this, and then just completely flip the script on him, and he's just like good to go, and it doesn't even matter. There is this talk about this gentleman called Leo Wanta, right? And trillions upon trillions of dollars owed to this ambassador, et cetera. And here we have a economic crisis that isn't just domestic, but is worldwide, as we're seeing the Bank of England and all these private equity firms showing up and shoring up this financial system. What is your perspective on this? What is this all about? Who is Leo Wanta? Is this for real?
First of all, Eben, I want to say it's a pleasure to be with you in your studio. We've done many interviews by phone. You are my exclusive outlet for discussing the five bodies. You've done it since, I don't know, 2000 or so. You are the best at bringing it out, and you've been consistent, and I want to thank you for making that possible. And it's good to be here with you in person.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yep. Really great.
So I've talked about this before, about how we're in a post-information society, and information doesn't mean what people say or what they write or images they experience or the music they hear. Information has merged form and function. So environments, technological environments, are information. That's the way it's been the last 150 years. So when I say a post-information society, I mean it's a post-technological society. I say everything has disappeared as far as human cognition can perceive. Well, how do humans cognize? They communicate. The communication environments have disappeared. That was symbolized by Y2K, where they sold all these computers to prepare for the transition, and then the transition didn't show up,
right.
And then where were we? We were in a post-communication society. Now, the President of the United States, or the White House, not the United States, that disappeared a long time ago, the meme of the White House is the central point for information generation and retrieval. So the White House has always been a resonant image over the last 60 years, responding to the needs that the public are being affected by in the technological environment. The sensory ratio shifts. So when we get into a post-information society, what is the image that's going to come out of the White House? It's predetermined. They couldn't even have an election. They had to have the image. It was already predetermined that the image would be someone who couldn't communicate, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Could not finish his sentences, did not receive information, did not read newspapers or watch TV. That image was so resonant, so powerful, it freaked out all the old information industries. And the information industries, centered in New York and Los Angeles, have been complaining about this image for 7 years and convulsing. But they're only acting out their own crisis that they don't exist anymore. And a couple of years ago, the YouTube was the person of the year. Because
right.
We create our own information in the leftover ghetto that we're living in.
Right.
It's a post-information society, so people intuit that. So now they got a technology that allows them to talk to themselves.
Right, right. But
MySpace. It's all about MySpace.
Right, right.
All right.
Right.
Now, how does that affect the economy?
Yeah.
Yeah. How does that affect the economy? Well, since the 30s, when money collapsed during the crash in 1929 and the private ownership of money shifted to what's called the welfare state or the social state or the fascist state, that's because money became public property. Money as a paper medium was a means of communication. It was necessary for people to be registered as citizens. Couldn't run back to the country and hide out in the caves. You wouldn't survive very long, probably, unless you were pretty good at it, and that's rare. Hippies romanticized that. They quickly dropped that and came back and got on welfare. Now, then the digital environment comes in and turns the money aspect into an inflationary situation that the public ownership of the money collapsed in the late 70s. You remember when the price of gold went up?
Yes.
And interest rates went to 20% with Paul Volcker, the head of the Federal Reserve?
Right.
That was the freakout of the money as basic welfare guaranteed environment. So there hasn't been any money, and even there hasn't been the public ownership of money since the late 70s, early 80s. The Great Depression of 1982. What turned it around? Junk bonds. What was junk bond? That was the virtual economy. That was fake nothing selling you and buying it and going into debt and claiming you're making profits. So money freaked out for the after image of the public ownership of money. Private ownership of money was on the sidelines. The only private ownership of money that was retrievable in this junk bond phase was the ancient fondi or oligarchy, who never lent money like the Rockefellers did through the World Bank and the aid and all that international offering of money through the 40s, 50s, and 60s to third world countries. That all crashed in the late 70s, and they couldn't get their money back. The loans couldn't be paid. So the only people with the old meaning of gold and credit and coin and paper investment were the oligarchs. So they propped up a certain part of the money part of the economy in the 80s behind Prince Charles.
Yes.
He had to go public, so he got married and had his trophy wife, and they ran around in the 80s, propping up the part of our media heritage. Can't get rid of any medium, stays around, but adjusts to the newer medium.
Right.
That is the more constituent and formative medium. So in the digital era of the 80s, for the average person, there was no money. But for corporations, they need to rely on the oligarchy, who had never lent their money. They only invest their money.
Mm.
So they had, quote, profit. They had stability. But even the collapse of the digital economy in the early 90s did not allow them a bridge into the 90s. So in the late, throughout the late 90s, the dot-com expression was money, which did not have any basis of, quote, reality, said, well, if we want to stay in the game, we're going to have to do fatty communication. We're going to just have to participate. So they gave money to anybody who claimed to be part of the new ground of digital communication. You got a new kind of spreadsheet? Here's $3 trillion, right? Little kid, 15 years old, got a new kind of program. This is 95, 96, 97, 98. Well, of course, that turned into nothing with Y2K, and we're left here with no form of communication, no currency, no money, no nothing. The after image of that was the Enron scandal. And what were they? They represented what was going on in the global economy, where the guys who lent him money said, okay, there is no money. We pretend there is money. I will give you some money, and you call it a profit. It's actually a loan. You call it a profit. We're keeping this simple. See, there's nothing to exchange when there's no communication nodes. You got to have this and that, two polarities, and they interact. Well, if that's collapsed, then there's no means of communication. So we will pretend we're communicating. This is from late 90s on into 2001. We will pretend we're communicating. But if you actually call it in accounting terms, I'm giving you a loan, but you're calling a profit. So that limped along through 2000 and until late 2001. Probably the expression of the Paleolithic situation, 911, finally forced the illusion of loan, profit, profit being loan. And in October 2001, Enron scandal surfaced. So N, the number 14 for the digital era, was on the run. And, of course, it collapsed. And there's been nothing since then. What happened, though, as I've predicted on the show, is that this software dynamism of the digital economy would have to flip into, following McLuhan's tetradic laws, would have to flip into hardware, a new kind of hardware. What is that? Cold fusion. Well, cold fusion is sitting on the sidelines while we act out our paroxysms of Paleolithic retrieval, And the money meme and its after image said, well, we can't invest in software anymore. That collapsed, the dot-com bust. So we now will invest in hardware. So what is hardware? Housing. Something to shelter your chemical body. The original problem for humans is shelter and warmth and dealing with the elements. We've always had energy dealing with that that wound down. That's entropy. That's friction-based energy system. But cold fusion promises endless energy. More goes out than goes in. So once we have cold fusion, we can warm our bodies and have shelter domestically around the world, or cooler bodies, with an energy device that doesn't run out. So that's beyond measurement. That's frictionless. That's negentropy.
Right.
So that's the utopian technology we finally arrive at. We have it. It's sitting on the shelf. So since we're going to have to deal with that fact, and we can't prop up the virtual attempt at hardware, which is the giving people houses for no reason or for free, when they flipped a couple of years ago, then the houses were dismantled. So just as the Android meme or the digital economy propped up software in the 80s and 90s and collapsed, we've now propped up hardware, fake hardware, all the time denying and ignoring cold fusion. So that flipped and collapsed. So that started officially this spring. But actually what happened 2 years ago, let's say 2005 and 2006, the actual people responsible for the money meme, we call them the international banksters or the IMF or the Federal Reserve Chairman or whatever, those people aren't really the issue. It's the environment and the afterimage of the fact that we once owned our own money systems. That meme and the people responsible for creating the virtual image of that meme, they said, my team actually said, we got to put a stop to the inflationary effects of the digital economy on the money meme. So it got to the point where people in their the Fed rate turns over money. You know what the Fed rate? Banks in the Federal Reserve System, they have to account for all the money they've dispensed during the day. If they fall short, another bank supplements it, and then they get a little interest for helping the other bank. So you have this communication matrix among the banks. When this died in 2000, but then was temporarily rebuilt through the housing new hardware economy, these banks, within the digital acceleration, could not cover the interest rates overnight. It gets up into the trillions. So a couple of years ago, my team decided that we got to put a stop to this digital effect. So we said, okay, no more loaning and profiting and offshore distribution of profits, and therefore they're not taxed. The whole problem of not taxing this inflationary quadrillionaire economy, we put a stop to it a year ago. Leo Wanta, he's demanding $5 trillion. He's owed $27 trillion. He says $4.5 trillion. He will accept, and he will put it into the hardware economy and rebuild American infrastructure. That's what Leo Wanta says. And his representative, Michael Cortelli, I think, I forget his name. Leo Wanta was part of getting a nest of money at the end of the Cold War, a profit from the money Reagan gave him in the early 80s, and he told Wanta to fight the Soviet economy and beat it. So they won for all kinds of other reasons, but we won't go into that. But America's sitting on the pot with this money that he got from the battle with the Russian ruble. So that little chunk of money actually is the money meme I've been talking about, because that's 10 years after 1979 when money disappeared, the public. So you have this virtual nest egg. Now, Leo Wanta says that that was owed to him, but George Bush Sr. stole it, all right, and kept the junk bond and digital economy going in the 90s. So now Leo Wanta, who was put in jail in 93, services in 2005 with the help of Chris Story, who's the editor who does the global worldreports.org out of London. He gets Leo Wanta out of jail. And then Leo Wanta says, I'm alive, and the CIA had been saying he was dead for 10 years. And he says, I'm here and you owe me the $4.5 trillion, which was signed over to me by Reagan, and I will not exploit it like George Bush Sr. and Jr. are doing.
Right.
Now, we have a misperception by Mr. Wanda of what money is and what his relationship to it. It's not anybody's money. It's the Android meme's money, and it's actually an after image of the money meme. So here you have this after image, which has to be dispensed around the world in a communicative matrix. Now that matrix died in 2000, so there's no communication. That was able to be covered up with the new hardware myth of housing for everybody, and that collapsed. So even the nest egg of the $27 trillion that was like the little prize for us winning, the American somebody winning the Cold War, that disappeared. So you have on Chris Story's site, worldreports.org, the daily accounting of Mr. Wanta and Mr. Michael, whatever his name is, somebody's forgotten, his lawyer,
yeah,
or his representative or CEO of the company Leo has, they are meeting every day with Citibank, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and saying, because in June 2006, the courts said that Wanta deserves this money, then they think they should get it. And so they've been waiting, and they report on that website their meetings every day with executives in New York who said the money has been sent. We sent it 2 hours ago. and then Curcelli says, or Leo Wanta says, no, we didn't receive it. This has been going on since September 2006. Every few days or weeks when World Reports updates it, they had another meeting. The George Bush Jr. even said that he sent the money and never gets there. There is no money for Mr. Wanta. He's technically correct. He's legally correct about the fact that something that he did for Reagan and belongs to the public should go to somebody representing the public. But there is no public, is what he doesn't understand. There is no White House. There is no anything. There's no communication. So this summer, the subprime mortgage crisis escalated to what's called the credit crunch. What is the journalist expression of what's going on? None of the banks in the United States will communicate with any other bank, i.e. loan them money or receive loans and call it profits. The hedge fund's reality has collapsed. Stephen Schwarzman, in early February this year, 2007, had a birthday, I think it was his 60th birthday, celebrating himself being the richest man on Wall Street, the most successful. He had a big hedge fund victory legacy. 2 weeks later, he announced that the hedge fund was going public, which violated the whole sense of what a hedge fund was.
Right, right.
And why did he do that 2 weeks? I think he even announced a bit of it at his birthday party, but it shocked everybody. But the point is that he had heard that our team had put a stop to the whole virtual economy, and he knew. So what do? You pretend there's a public and give them the money and say, hey, come on in. Pretend there's somebody here to come into and to receive you. So Schwarzman is an example. As usual, if you make it big, you win an Oscar, you get on the cover of Time magazine, you make a big hit record, you're doomed. You're going to get nailed by the Android meme in some way. That's why you should be a member of my little team called Unknowns Anonymous. Okay? We show up, but we're only a blip for an hour. They never remember us, even though I've been on your show saying this stuff for 7 years.
Right.
Yeah, but I can show up, and one day the whole world will hear me, and
yes,
that'll be an important time. And then this comes into 2012, the big fantasy about what's going to happen in the Mayan prophecy. Well, I'm telling you, people, 2012 is happening right now, 2007, 2008, and it's symbolized by this victory that my team is expressing. We are going to put this economy back into a realistic situation. Very difficult to do. Cold fusion will be part of it, but we know how to manage the four bodies in this situation.
What bodies are going to suffer during this transition? Because everybody feels that right now everything is threatened, so it seems like our chip body is pronouncedly important because it seems to, even though it's detached through the computer, it's intimate. You see people going to dating sites rather than going out and meeting people. I mean, this is kind of something that's a little bit off, but I can do that.
No, that's very important, what you just said. As usual, Evan, you don't even know what you're saying, but you're always right, you know? I mean, you probe. You're a good intuitive. You have the chemical body built up with mechanical technology, literacy, and early electrical technology end of the 19th century, early 20th century. Then you have that absorbed into the TV landscape, and that later becomes the TV body. And then you have what I call the astral body, which is just the cultural meme that there's more than this reality, and we call it God or Quetzalcoatl or Isis or Jesus or Allah. there is something in humans that believes there's something more than this. That whole legacy, we could just review it when we read my little magazine article. The fact that the astral body is the religious impulse, we'll say, in people.
Right.
That is there. And then you have the chip body, which comes in the 90s, because the chip landscape, which was built for the chip computer landscape, digital landscape built from 60 to 90, starts to get shrunk in the 90s. Now, so you got the chemical body, the astral body, the TV body, the chip body. The chemical body got abused and wiped out in the 80s with the medical pharmaceutical companies. They said, we're not doing medicine anymore. We're just going to pump people with bodies. We're just going to prop up this useless little appendage called a chemical body. The astral body went nuts, and everybody claimed they were channeling or getting abducted and having astral ecstasies. And we know all about that. We get that on Art Bell or even on you interview some of these people.
Yeah.
And that's the crisis or extreme supernova of the astral body. And then you have the TV body. Well, by the time you get the 90s, you get Jerry Springer and people coming on spitting communicative insults into the people, into the audience. They don't even care about the TV effect. So TV had to take its clothes off by the early 90s just to stay in the game. TV body collapses by the end of the 90s. The chip body is the last body. It died in 2000, 2003. You could say with the Iraq War was the end of the chip body. We say, hey, man, this guy went to war through lies. Hey, it wasn't lies. He had nothing to say to you guys. There's no communication, no truth possible, no information. It's another expression. I know we have to take a break, but I'll just move into this after the break. The thing is that if the chip body being the last body, what's everybody doing? They're on their little cell phones, iPhones, and computers day in, day out, because it's the last contact with reality that we remembered we had. But we're beyond that now. So it's the panic of the chip body is what is the last gasp right now.
That's Bob. And it's 2008. And this is the way to start it off on a freaking satellite rocket ship through the universe, because that's where you need to be to get this kind of perspective and get to be a part of the unknown anonymous group.
I agree.
And KPFK.
I agree with that post by
Evan. KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, you guys. It is, you know what? This is like the luckiest thing ever to do in my life, which is to, you know, volunteer and do this kind of stuff. But it's the people you meet. It's the information you get to bring. No holds barred. This might be flying over your head, but just jump a little bit. Get on your tiptoes. Open your ears and just don't put up any filters. Just let Bob come on down. All right?
And tape it.
That's right. All right. KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. We're taking just a quick break. And then we're going to get back because 2008 is going to be something else. It's going to be something great. And let's start it off right with Bob. All right. Be right back. Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. You are tuned to Radio Alchemy Loves. 2008 has arrived, and so I brought in the folks to start it off right with you. If you're with us in the first hour, your health and welfare are in good hands. If you heard the words of Dr. Carolyn Dean in this second hour, you have a lot of bodies, a lot of baggage. That maybe is pulling you apart? Do you feel quartered at some time? Do you feel just completely depressed and elated at the same time? Could it be the interplay of so much stuff that maybe you think is here but yet has disappeared? It's hard to know. Let me just read a little blurb out of this amazing article that was in Paranoia magazine. It was Joan Dark interviewing Bob, and this is, let me see, what?
April.
Yes. The spring 2007 issue number 44. This is a little note on the five bodies. The chemical body is what most people consider to be their physical body. The astral body is a belief that there is more to our makeup than the chemical body. The TV body is the repository of historical one-way broadcasting. The chip body is a mutating warehouse of digital omnidirectional media. And the mystery body is what we're still excavating and whose lineaments we cannot fully assess yet, if ever. And that is the foundation and information that look, everything is within and then jettisons out. I mean, you just heard in our opening salute from Bob taking the idea of a virtual economy and how that has exploded out of the environments that have naturally exhumed from us over all of these centuries. And so it's incredible to have this as a starting point.
Good choice of words there.
Yeah.
And it was that we are trying to assess the mystery body, excavate, and we don't know how well we're assessing it because it's the mystery part of ourselves and our environments that we made that we haven't figured out.
Right. One thing that you, a couple of things actually. Well, the first thing I wanted to ask you about what you said in your interview with Joan Darc. You were saying that somehow, besides money becoming public and it collapsing for solar
digital.
The digital, but also you were saying that it didn't work for the solar government at that time.
Yeah.
You were saying that also the pressure upon money was because it couldn't monetize the acoustic effects of radio. And that seems to parallel a lot with what you were just talking about now, that even the overall world economic system is even just the written word, the money of account versus the money of exchange. The money of exchange has collapsed because it cannot keep up or it can't take the
translated
money, right, translated into the money of account. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, I want to say I was reminded by my friend that it's not Michael Corselli, whatever, saying it's Michael Cottrell is the legal guy, CEO working with Leo Wanta.
Okay.
And I think Chris Story, who does worldreports.org, gets his information from Leo and mainly from Michael Cottrell. So
okay.
Just for the record.
When
you look at money, where did it come from, the way we know it or did know it, it was only possible on national levels through the printing press. Now, the printing press creates books and things we can see. So we consider the Gutenberg phase of the economy an extension of the eye. And when you moved into the radio, which is an electric medium, but it's actually all electric media are extension of the tactile sense. But on the surface, on the content level, it's an acoustic environment. Radio's acoustic. And radio in the 20s brought in information, relatively free information, which was a new form of experience, a new form of virtual reality. We could even see books as a virtual reality. Mm-hmm. Memory is a virtual reality. But anyways, the radio wealth that people were experiencing. In other words, wealth is a measure of what you're experiencing. If you can experience all kinds of show tunes and conversations and debates and panels and programs which take up your time while you're awake, that's a form of wealth. So the visual parameters of money could not contain the new wealth caused by the radio and electronics environment of the 20s. So it collapsed. The accounting books couldn't keep up. So then the managers of society, you could say what are they called? The Council of Foreign Relations, the Federal Reserve guys,
WTO,
Jekyll Hyde Island meeting in 1913,
right.
That gang, which is the big brother gang that Orwell writes about in 48 and calls it 1984, but it was actually about 1934.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the management, and Roosevelt was part of that, the management of the fact that visual forms of money were obsolete, could not measure the situation. So so Roosevelt said, let's give it away. Let's make it available to everybody. And that's the
welfare state.
Welfare state, which is an effect of visual space becoming no longer a hidden ground, but a figure, visible, everybody shares it. But the real ground, the real economy, is the information and news broadcast in the radio environment. Then TV comes in, computers and satellite. That eventually, actually what happens after World War II is the GI Bill and the giving of money for industrial purposes and credit. Okay? So credit goes along, and that's like an early computerized form, which means it's not audio or acoustic, it's digital and tactile. So we now have the tactile dispersal of money from the 50s on through credit, and that then gets escalated by the Android meme in the late 70s, so even the tactile does not hold the image of the economy, the framework, together, and then that totally collapses after various phases of after-images of tactility in 1990. So we are post-tactile, we're post-economy, we're post-eye, we're post-ear, and we're post-touch. That means we ain't communicating anymore, because tactility is the ground of communication. Touch. I don't mean touch as pressure. I mean the interplay. And look at your life on the internet. It is so tactile. Right. It is so subtle, and you're discarnate, and you're inside each other's fingertips as well as your brains. So that the software, Microsoft, Steve Jobs world is tactility squared, a Baroque spire of tactility, but that has collapsed. And so in this caveman situation we're now in, it's a tiny, tiny little planet, tiny little chemical body, tiny astral body, tiny digital, tiny TV body. We, my team as senior cavemen, are coming in and saying, we're putting a stop to all this. We're going to reorganize your understanding of the bodies you have. And we did that economically. And you're feeling that now. And that is going to be a great breakthrough. And so the miracle that people are waiting for, or the singularity, or the ecstasy, or the ultimatum, or whatever they think, the 2012, or the destruction, maybe the Christians say Armageddon, by 2012, it is happening now. That's the good news. And you need to know this as you go into 2008. I like how you add that up. 2 and 8 is 10, which is 1, which is the beginning of a new cycle. And to have me and you know who here in the studio at this time as we move into it, it's never happened before. This is a new revolution here in Mr. Hollywood land. And I just saw Inland Empire. And you can go on my website, 5body.com, and hear my director's commentary, Mr. Lynch. I'll explain to you what you meant by a woman in trouble.
Oh, my God. I hope you can explain that movie.
Because
I don't know what the heck is going on.
It's very simple. Lynch is a genius at taking what's going on in your regular news that everybody consumes and makes it into a filmic, surrealistic distortion that you think he's not even in touch with our time. But what has been the Paleolithic image, the last gasp of the Android meme, which has to be a woman because the Android meme is right hemisphere favoring the woman image, and since it's post-2000, it has to be a right hemisphere woman in trouble. What has dominated the, quote, dumbing down of everybody has been Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, and a couple other of them. Nothing but women cracking up. That's all that Inland's about. Inland Empire, subtitle, A Woman in Trouble, is Lynch explaining archetypally how media since the 20s have taken every famous actress and created a Laura Dern freakout that he presents over almost 3 hours long in Inland Empire. It's about what's going on in your news every day. Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, crack up. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that is. I'll have
now
to watch it again.
Sense. Oh,
I
yes,
have
obvious.
It at home. I'll go watch it again.
And listen to
I
it with...
I still not understand what
I'm
thinking of
you. Watch it with my commentary, which
yes.
you can hear on my site. I explain the phases of the movie as it goes through the 2 hours and 55 minutes.
Awesome.
And Mr. Lynch, you should have a movie about me.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about cooking quinoa, which he does. You can get the DVD and get the extras on there. There's a great metaphor of how he makes his movies. He takes 15 minutes and shows how he does quinoa. And what he does, he says, okay, see, this is a pot. I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to turn this little handle, and water will come out, and it'll fill up the pot. Now, we got a pot with water. I now carry over this thing that heats it. He breaks down the step-by-step process of cognition, or how you do a simple thing of cooking. It's like so ridiculous and absurd that he breaks out every little moment that you already know and assume. But he's actually miming how he makes his films. He takes the crack-up of Laura Dern, but I forget her character's name. She's several people, Quadrophenic in the movie. And he breaks down and shows you second by second, phase by phase shifting of what she goes through.
But why?
Like he cooks quinoa, and he's explaining those details. It draws out. Now, on another subplot or subtext is, it's a counter against all the hyper, super, Baroque spiral of kinetic speed that you get in your normal effects movies.
But why are all of his films like that? I mean, going, you know, all the way back to Blue Velvet is a woman in trouble.
Because he's a painter. He's a nostalgic guy like Frank Zappa. Frank Zappa wanted to be a composer, and he was the best composer ever happened in America. He was all this technology the last 10,000 years was worth it because it produced Frank Zappa.
Yeah.
We can almost say, not as great, but David Lynch has been worth it because they're a painter, and Zappa was a musician. They're old-fashioned Gutenberg artists, and they want to slow us down. It's a futile situation when we got four bodies, but he persists in that. And so he finally caught up with what was going on and presenting the quadrophenic effect of our situation with Inland Empire. Inland Empire, the whole phrase sums up all his previous movies. They're all about the electric effect. He called it the electric baby. That's what he used to paint in the 80s. Read the Vanity Fair article when he was married to Rossellini. Electric Baby. He's talking. They're all talking McLuhan, which is talking Finnegan's Wake, which is updated by Beaujard, and then capped off by me. I am the punchline of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, did someone say something?
I'll put a marker there.
Okay, lucky we're not live.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm going to say it, man. That's holding me back.
Oh, okay, hold it, hold it.
You that said, reminds me, Walter Bowert, no longer with us. But
yes.
Well, that's a little. We'll do that later.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. Hold it. There was
always, Walter always swore at me.
Did he?
That's what reminds me.
Oh, I wouldn't think why.
Oh,
he
no,
would.
Pleasantly. No, he got so excited about what I was saying. It was ecstasy swearing.
Yes, yes, yeah. Exactly. Ecstasy. Okay, you said something. You said Gutenberg, and that reminds me of a point in your article where you talked about that one of the secrets of the either the Solar Council or Solar Government or something is that they are able to perpetuate the Gutenberg
meme.
Ah,
that's what we did after World War II. So the team I'm talking about that I'm saying put our foot down the past year, that team was an after image of the Solar Government and Secret Council 10 that I dismantled in 88. 89, 90. Okay, we haven't had a Secret Council 10. We didn't need it because the Andrew meme was almost gone, and then we watched it flip out, and now we're at this point.
Right.
George Bush represents on the popular Andrew meme level the communication from the Solar Government, and we ain't got anything to tell you. All right. So I was the only one to understand that process. And for me, the harmonic divergence happens when my former colleagues Secret Council 10 remember me and realize now that I was right. And that I was correct to dismantle it. So they understand how we can reorganize the Solar Government in a new situation considering the Mayan prophecy is happening right now.
Right.
So, you know, Populates knows the second coming. All right?
Right.
Now we got quadruple comings happening here.
Yeah.
The after World War II, the visual meme or the money meme is that you are Eben and it's on that's your name on your Social Security card, and I'm not Eben. That's a product of the alphabet. If we didn't have the phonetic alphabet in the printing press, you wouldn't have any private identity. You'd be a tribal mishmash, okay?
Mm.
So that idea of ownership of property by one person, what we call capitalism, is a product of the Gutenberg galaxy, the alphabetic printing press meme. We preserve that through the 50s, 60s, and early 70s by saying, we run this show, we're the hierarchy, we're the final authority. Now, I knew in the 60s and early 70s, thanks to my father, that that was not going to be the effect, and McLuhan explained it. So we've had nothing and no visual space since then. So the Gutenberg meme died actually in the 80s when Reagan became president, because what was he? He was an actor pretending he was an individual, you know what I mean? And leading the White House, which is the popular expression technologically of the Gutenberg meme that I'm in charge and you're not. Mm. But you can't be in charge when the Andrew meme is running everything and technology's come alive by the late 70s. So we are not retrieving, so that's old issues. Joan Dark wanted to explain stuff I'd said for years, and I like that interview for me explaining the past. But I'm telling you the present for 2008, there ain't going to be any retrieval of private identity. There's going to be a retrieval of something new, which is very hard to explain.
Are you saying there wasn't any private identity during the tribal times, during the acoustic age, when we didn't pre-literate that?
Not the private identity that we think of private identity.
Okay,
what you had back then was a right hemisphere tribal situation. You know, the anthropological encounter with Aboriginal races, they seem to have a confidence about who they are, and they're very gentle in reacting with you if you're a white man or an anthropologist, but also very firm. They're very sure of themselves.
Yes.
Because in an acoustic space, primitive situation, you have no centers and no margins. Everybody creates their own center. And any leader of the group is only a leader doing the activity that they're good at. Mm. So in the morning, you got the fisherman, the good guy at fishing leads the tribe. Then it shifts to the baseball player, joking, whatever games they played in the afternoon.
Yes.
Or if they maybe do some planting, maybe some woman would lead. The flexibility, there's no rigid bureaucratic hierarchy.
Yes.
That was natural before writing came in. And then the Western, more refined writing was the phonetic alphabet and then the printing press, which really solidified bureaucracy. All right?
Right.
So that tribal, they are a sense of themselves, but they're very participatory in the group mind. They basically live in a world of ESP. If we have ESP, where are you? If I can think what you're thinking. It's not that they had complete ESP, but they had very subtle intuitive abilities, and they also could understand the dynamism in first nature.
Is that kind of like what we see, like in birds, one bird goes and everybody goes, some kind of...
So is there an individual? Yeah, there's individual on a certain, like 30% of the phenomenon is an individual bird, but the other 60%, 70% is a group mind. Now, that was broken up by visual space and printing. Now, we reconnected that group mind with television and what I call the cloning of ESP. We remanufactured the primitive state, so we've had that since 1950. You had the beatniks, the hippies, the yuppies, all tribal versions, then Terence McKenna celebrating the archaic revival. But McLuhan explained the causes of that situation. Now, we're moving into a situation, actually the mystery body landscape, where we can't say we're an individual, can't say we're a tribe, can't say we're even human, because we've got other technological bodies, and when we have cold fusion, which is more energy coming out and not friction-based, and all of human tragedy and wisdom and experience has been based on conflict and friction and people dying, now that we're moving into the immortal in many ways, what is private identity in that situation? Well, it ain't going to be coming from a book. It ain't going to come from your ID card. And it's going to be all taken away from you, and you're going to have to adapt to that and then do a jujitsu flip out of that into Dobbstown.
Right, right, right. And that's a place where I hope, I don't know which way we're supposed to turn to get there. That's the thing. It's just going to flip, and that can be in so many directions at once. Do you know who's in the studio? I think you do, because I know you're awake, you're sitting up, you've stopped your work. Maybe you pulled over to the side of the road because your synapses are just like snapping because Bob's in town. And it is 2008, and we are starting this thing off with dynamite. This is KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles 98.7, up there in beautiful Santa Barbara. It is a good thing that you are in the City of Angels, because we have a lot of folks come through, and we grab them and they fly over here and give us what our higher genius power has allowed to matriculate on this 3D kind of planet. You get to hear it here. No holds barred. Wherever we go, you know that you got to go too. And so I'm glad you guys are up late, because Bob's here, Carolyn's here, the whole magnificent world is here. Let's just get to the break, because we got to get back to Bob. KPFK 90.7 FM.
Where the past and the future converge. Go to www.radioalchemy.com. RadioAlchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
All right, darlings, you know to go to www.kpfk.org. Make sure and go there. Go to programs. Lots of programs there. Find the Something's Happening program guide. Boom, hop over there. And, you'll be able to find Radio Alchemy there in the studios, Bob Dobbs. We're starting out 2008 the way I like. High energy. Thought forms and patterns and stuff that we always have to have come back over and over again until we finally get it. And I feel that I'm starting to understand Bob speak and where we're at, but I'm telling you, a refresher course and expanding from there to let us know that your learning never ends on this planet. You don't know it all. We don't know schnee. And so it's really great to go back as babes and be open to hear the information and things as they evolve, because this world, I think, is so much more than even us adventurous types know. And you know what, Bob, you did mention Walter Borart. We had some other wonderful souls that left us. Sherman Skolnick left us. Sherman Skolnick.
Laura Huxley.
Yeah, Laura Huxley. Oh, doggone it. The course, look at that. It just, it'll come back to me.
Okay.
Let me go into and ask you this question. Reading an interview, actually, that you had with some folks a while back, you were talking about the thunders. Was it 12?
10 thunders.
10 thunders of Finnegan's Wake. One of them had to do with visual space being dominant by the female matriarchy, and then it flipped over in the patriarchy.
Yes.
Where is visual space at this time?
Well,
is it still patriarchy collapsed and disappeared, or did it flip back over?
Okay, it just shows you how hard it is to understand my stuff, and it does take a lot of time. I always say it takes 10 years to understand me.
Yeah.
But if you do the study and the homework, it'll work.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Just explained the disappearance of visual space.
Well, you did. But
in your terms, it didn't make... Didn't
No. I was wondering, though, that if it has, you know, disappeared already, okay, then let's skip that. If it's disappeared
It's disappeared, but I want to... It does relate to something. When you ended the previous session talking about the City of Angels...
Right.
This relates to visual space. An angel was traditionally described as an entity, almost like in the astral body world, that can go anywheres and be anywheres. But wherever it goes and is there for a little while, that's the only place it's at.
Mm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And McLuhan said that's a visual space. It's like a combination of acoustic mobility and visual identity with one angel. So they can move around, but they're only from a eye individualistic perspective. So they got mobility, can be anywhere, but while they're at different places in their circuit, that's the only place they are. Once we had the telegraph, but especially the radio environment, everybody was angelic. But the better way to say it is we were super angelic because we could be anywhere we want collectively at the same time. We can be in a million places. So when you're on the telephone, you're in Japan, and they're in here, and you're talking to them, and if it's a conference call, then there's other people, and you're in Australia, or you're in New York City. Mm-hmm. It's not that your body's there, but your mind and your ability to affect matter, because you can tell someone in Japan, hey, move that light bulb, or send that money over here. So you are experiencing ESP once you have the electric environment, radio, telephone, net. Now, think of that. I'm an angel. I'm in two places at once. At the same time, and if it's a collective call and the CIA's monitoring it, everybody's in the same space.
Right.
And so somebody in Langley is in Japan, Australia, New York, and Los Angeles all at the same time. Angels can't do that. Visually defined angels, but tactile defined angels, or what McLuhan called super angels, is what we're dealing with. So when I come to Los Angeles, there's always earthquakes and problems because I represent the super angelic situation for the City of Angels. Now, Wyndham Lewis wrote a great trilogy called The Human Age in the 20s into the 50s. He was the equal of James Joyce, and he described Hollywood as discarnate angelic beings. But McLuhan made the percept that we're super angelic. But if you want to read about the history of Los Angeles, read Wyndham Lewis. Then you want to see the perception of the super angel, read McLuhan. Then you want to live it and experience the post-super angelic, the new matter, the new world, the new Paleolithic, post-Paleolithic, corpus callosum reality in between left and right hemisphere. You follow Bob. You dig Bob. You learn him. And then you need to report back to me. I'm not a cult. But my mind is the mind that all the movies imitate.
Right. Right.
The Matrix.
Yes, yes. Let me ask you this. When you were talking about cold fusion, you talked about the chemical body and that, you know, housing and being frictionless, et cetera. Does that mean that we are going to see the recovery of the human species? Could that be the outgrowth of the introduction of this new environment? Is that foundation reemerges at a different level?
Yeah, we could say it's the recovery of human scale, but it's that, again, most words are fallible and flawed because it's more than words that are involved. But humanity always has been inside its cultural productions and determined them. People never stop talking, which is an obsolete medium. But you can see, you know, caveman reality, they started to communicate with their mouths and gesture, but focusing gradually on their mouths, that was a medium that people loved and celebrated and wallowed in, but caused all kinds of problems. Then later media dynamics and landscapes came along. So, in this new situation, it creates autonomy and independence and detachment from the media. The Android meme offered the autonomy because kids can engage in voluntary ESP. In other words, analog media and TV and radio created the cloning ESP. But now that we can disconnect, once we had our video recorders and our answer machines, we didn't have to answer the phone right away. We didn't have to watch the show.
Right.
So you see how we get the sense of being independent and detached from the cloned ESP.
Right.
So Wired magazine and the Electronic Frontier Foundation, those Digirati people in the early 90s said the whole world's getting connected. They didn't understand the digital environment was disconnecting everybody to a new level of not being dependent on collective media or memes. So that was the software utopia that was very charismatic. That collapsed. Okay. If we move past the hardware collapse of the housing market and the digital economy and the end of the autonomy caused by the digital experience, and this, you can live in your own little matrix tube, we move out of that, become aware of the four bodies we evolved, and we have free energy. We now interact with each other with no parameters, no frameworks. We actually are encountering for the first time the fact that we didn't know the whole story, so we're encountering the mystery body landscape. So the mystery body is lurking now. We don't know what that will mean in our relationship with each other. We don't know how we're going to communicate. All we can see right now, the main part of it, is you could imagine a young kid with their iPhone and drinking some herb juice and maybe having a McDonald's burger for their chemical body. They might have a sense of their astral body, so they do a little yoga, and they might want to watch TV, but they'll watch Jon Stewart, which makes fun of the TV body, and they're on the digital. The juggling of those four bodies, which I call quadrophenia, schizophrenia squared, not a negative condition, it's just the fact of what you're juggling, that intelligence and response and yoga that you'll need to handle that is what you know everybody is at this point. And when I look at you, Evan, I know you're in a TV body and a chip body. I know you got four bodies. I don't just go by your chemical body. And how you juggle that is what my psychic intuition has to deal with. Mm-hmm. So we know that about the mystery body. Mm-hmm. What cold fusion does in that situation is something new. So it means excitement. It means ecstasy. It means fake paranoia, fake schizophrenia, fake hysteria and fake panic. As we get more involved in the conquering of disease, satisfying of the hunger of the chemical body, all these things we saw within 100 years. And I would say that everything we see around us will no longer be here. It'll all be absorbed into, I don't know what you call it, quantum computing or something. So we are going into an extraordinary situation. But humanity, as Charles Bukowski said, ruined three-quarters of its past and will ruin three-quarters of its future. So we are going to psychically and stubbornly mess with this mystery body like we've always done, and that'll create comedy and tragedy and entertainment and abuse value. So remember, the actual fact that we got free energy will be new, but human brains can't take it.
Why do you think there's a mystery body?
Because we're always, you take someone 200 years ago, or even in the 60s, old grandmothers didn't believe they landed on the moon. In other words, our concept of what we're made up of, and the chip body is just something we excavated, or exhumed, as you said, from ourselves. We didn't know that was there. Mm. Even the crystalline energies of the Atlantean community, or urban legend, or myth, 10,000 BC. Mm-hmm. We have a variation of crystalline resonance, but we don't have them. And they didn't have what we have, even though they might have had a pretty interesting thing. The African cultures apparently had pretty neat cultures 2,000 years ago, right? You know a bit about that. Mm-hmm. Is it John Clark and the historians of that world?
Right.
But those were products of non-literate, non-industrial, tactile cultures. We now have a totally amazing new situation.
Right.
And we never knew we'd have that. And we have it now, so we excavated our reality, and this is what we got, so we can assume there's more, and whatever we're excavating, it's lineaments we can't determine. I call that the mystery landscape.
So it can be even beyond the fifth body.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know where it is. Well, let's just say we're moving into the great I don't know. My good buddies, the Evergreens, say that the religious quest of this next 100 years will not be to locate your identity in a religion. You will locate your identity in the search for something. The search itself will be the new religion.
Yes.
I mean, it's an extension, an archetypalizing of the electronic process. But that search, if we're celebrating the search, that's the last thing we got as we wallow around in the mystery body. So
because we assumed we knew it.
Yes.
We
that's natural for humans to always assume. That's the human stupidity that's going to get in the middle of the next 100 years, because we always have to know what we're doing. That's the double irony and paradox of doubleness of the mind. We need the mind to do little things, but we exaggerate the mind and think it knows everything.
Is that, you know what, that's interesting, because then if the assuming, making an ass of you and me, gets in the way of things, isn't that kind of like a current environment where authority is challenged and flipped? The internet makes it such that these bloggers think that they are the source, they're the authority, when where are they getting their information? From books, etc., other authorities, but they flip
older media.
Authority. Yeah, older media.
And they need older media to have something to argue with.
Right.
And so it's a symbiotic process. And so That and yet they're just an extension of the chip body. There will be new kinds of communication within 5 years. The blogosphere will come and go.
Right, right.
Probably we'll have some kind of wacky form of ESP
right.
Through a pill.
One last question, and then maybe your summary. Again, why did McLuhan not concern himself with content? Why was it the means and not the content?
How much time we got?
Okay, never mind.
No, we got two minutes?
Yeah, we have...
1 minute?
Yeah, less.
I can do it in 30 seconds.
Okay.
He came out of the symbolist movement. The symbolist would take an object out of its context and put it somewhere else. So like a boot on a highway. And that was called symbolism, a figure in a new ground. So as a symbolist style in his books, which is only one part of his project, because he knew it was more than books that had to be done, he would take one aspect of communication, which is the language of form, suppress the language of function and the content and the user, and hype up the effect of the medium form itself as an exaggerated symbolist counter to the global theater of the 60s. In the 70s, he said, I suppressed the user as the content, and now I'm talking about it. So he talked about it in the 70s. So it was a massive symbolic post-Dionysian. Next time we talk about Menippean satire, which is what he was, we're going to talk about pseudo-Dionysius. Look that up. PSEUDO-DIONYSIUS. He started the Christian mysticism, and we don't know who he was. The Christian mystic tradition is built on a hoax.
What are we going to see this year?
Me.
Yes. What are you going to do?
We're going to lock down Bob Rules, I've always claimed, and Dobbstown's going to manifest.
Okay, fantastic. Bob is...
But hard times for those who have been paying their bills.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, darlings, hello. Obviously, we're going to have to play this over and over again, or else we're just going to have to get Bob back in here a lot sooner to break down even more what is coming up in this 2008-10-1 year blast-off. Because what we've just tried to do in these last 2 hours is to give you a foundation. And maybe it feels a little bit shaky to you, but then again, as you know, you can't assume that you know anything. And so let's start from ground zero and build right. And that starts with thyself and out into whatever kind of communities hopefully some kind of tactile goodness. Go out and touch someone and be with people starting this year instead of, doing it on this virtual basis. Kind of hard in L.A. But, get out there and touch someone and be good. Bob, what a pleasure. It is so great to see you. You look absolutely marvelous, dear. Obviously, you've been doing right by yourself. And so,
well, thanks to Connie.
Really
and
great.
You heard it. She knows the stuff. I'm looking good because of Connie.
Well,
I'm taking that mineral. I'm taking that food-based stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm taking the D-cell water. I got it all, man. I ain't dying.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got work to do.
And you're fantastic.
Well, you're fantastic.
No,
you're fantastic.
You're fantastic.
Dang it.
I'll swear.
I swear to you. All right. It is a pleasure, darlings, to be with you every week. Thank you so much for letting me volunteer here, Roy. Thank you, all the above. And so, loves, until next week, Bob will be back. Always go to the sites out there, fivebodied.com, www.fivebodied.com, fivebodied.com. And the other person that passed and left us was Anton Wilson.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so, but they're with us still. And so that's just where we are. Okay, got to go. Until next week. Bye.
You've been listening to Radio Alchemy with your host, Evan Ray. Be sure to visit our website, www.radioalchemy.com. And join us next week for more mind-blowing revelations from the fringe.